Rides, arts and crafts, food and music. Category 6, Baytown Groove. 4A Tradition, Nick Perkins, Elvis, and others. Friday's Cajun Night, Saturday a Classic Car Show, Fireworks Show, Sunday night, St. Clair Catholic Church's Seafood Festival, Memorial Weekend, South Beach Boulevard, Waveland, Mississippi. Friday through Sunday, May 27th through May 29th.
Welcome to a brand new season of In the Paint, talking New Orleans Pelicans basketball all season with your host, WGSO radio personality, Mitch Gibbs.
All right, welcome to another edition of the show, and we got some great guests lined up. I want to mention, because we just finished the PGA at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that, been playing a lot of golf over at Timberlane. And so I want to mention those guys over there, playtimberlane.com, 367-5010, area code 504. That's where you book the tee times. You can also do it online as well, the golf pro, Richie Tomlin. He does lessons, and they have a great golf vantage program where you can get great deals, get discounts on tee times and membership and all that good stuff and merchandise. So just want to mention them, throw out a shout out to them. They've gotten some good play out there, and we finally got a little bit of rain, so hopefully that'll help the greens, get them a little bit wet. But let's go to our first guest. Been on with me many times before. Covers horse racing through TVG, Dave Weaver. So Dave, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Yeah, two legs down, one to go in the triple crown.
I did well on Friday. Really, I didn't bet the Preakness. For some reason, I wasn't excited about the race. Although I do like Epicenter. I was really disappointed in the Derby because I wanted a Louisiana Derby horse to win the Kentucky Derby. I know it hadn't been since Grindstone, but here Epicenter really had a chance and I think should have won. I had no excuse not to win the Preakness and loses another race. I know that horse has done well enough where he makes a lot of money for his owner. What are your thoughts on the Preakness and how the whole day went? Both days, right? Friday and Saturday, because they had the Black Eyed Susan with the female horses. But how do you think that went over the weekend for Pimlico?
It was hot out there, I'll tell you that. It was like mid-90s Friday and probably somewhere around the same thing on Saturday. So weather-wise, it wasn't, no rain, but it was a hot and humid day for everybody out there. Horses handled it well. I thought Epicenter had a big excuse. He got out and got checked early and had to go back to last, and then he got kind of trapped on the rail. I thought he could have probably been the best horse. So I'm a little bit in disagreement that, he didn't necessarily have things, quote-unquote, go his way, and he still ran second. They're going to skip the Belmont. That's been pretty much confirmed now. I think he's probably needs a break, and they'll come back and aim for something this summer. But second in the Derby, second to the Preakness, I still think he made Louisiana proud by racing as well as he did in those Triple Crown races, even though he didn't win one.
Well, I guess I was thinking about at the end of the race when he was on the rail. I didn't know if the rail was slow because I really didn't watch most of the races on Saturday, but I just thought he was in the clear there and on the rail, but maybe that wasn't the best place to be. But I think he's good. That horse is going to do well. And if he runs in the, the summertime races, whether he goes to Travers or the Haskell, he's always going to be right there in the mix. So I just would like him to win some races because I would like to see a Louisiana Derby horse win the Kentucky Derby. And so we got to wait till next year. And then I thought that some of the, I'm worried. This is a mother concern of mine. This has been going on forever, obviously, with the older horses because a lot of them they retire and go to stud. And I just think we don't have a great bunch of older horses right now. And I like those races really. When they have the three and up races. And so, tell me if I'm wrong about that. Are there enough good handicap horses out there right now?
No, it's a little weak. You're right. Some of the better horses of a few years ago, the likes of the Gun Runners, that went to stud, and now he's got his first crop of runners that are doing very well. But, when you're a great three-year-old and you win a Kentucky Derby or you win a Triple Crown like American Pharoah or Justify, there's just so much more money to be made off the track than on the track, where these owners decide to, you know, to let these horses go on to their next career as a stallion. But it is a little weak, which kind of opens it up for one of these three-year-olds, if they can, you know, have a good year, to go into the Breeders' Cup Classic and be able to beat the older horses. Maybe Epicenter could do that.
Yeah, I think he's got a shot, but I would have liked to see him win. Well, I guess, like you said, there was an excuse in the Preakness and the Derby. That horse just was just rolling at the end. Who's going to run in the Belmont? Are we going to get the Derby or Preakness winner in the Belmont? What are you hearing about that?
So the Preakness winner who just won early voting is not going. Trainer Chad Brown is going to wait and point towards a summer campaign. Probably a race like the Travers at Saratoga would be the end goal for his three-year-old season. Rich Strike, the Kentucky Derby winner, was always planning to skip the Preakness and then go to the Belmont. That's confirmed. Trainer Eric Reed is going to ship him out towards the end of the month and get him ready to go. So Rich Strike will have a chance to win the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont without trying. Maybe if they win the Belmont, then they start scratching their head saying, could we have had a triple crown here?
Well, that's what I want to ask you. Isn't it disappointing for horse racing that the Kentucky Derby winner doesn't even run in the Preakness? I didn't like that at all.
Well, yeah, a lot of horse racing fans always want to be able to have a triple crown run. But as an owner and somebody that's owned horses in the past and not had a horse like Rich Strike, you know, if you own the horse, you can do what you want. So until you go out and buy a Kentucky Derby winner, you're not in the shoes of somebody that has that decision to make. So, hey, I'm not going to judge them by their decision. If that's what they want to do, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, but like you said, if the horse ends up coming off the pace and rolling like he did in the Derby in the Belmont, then everybody will wonder why, you know, maybe could have won the Triple Crown. So I guess that's a moot point. Before I let you go, I want to ask you about, you know, I know you like the Saints and you always are high on them. And, you know, and I think it's wide open. You would probably agree. You know, do you feel good about the Saints? I feel better about them making the playoffs because I like some of the acquisitions they made recently with bringing in Tyrann Mathieu and Jarvis Landry, the two LSU guys who are obviously going to like being in New Orleans. Do you feel good about the Saints making the playoffs this coming season?
I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably about a 6.7, you know, a little bit higher than the middle. But, I mean, Jameis, you know, we got some questions at quarterback. Last time we were on the show together, you were saying they still need a little bit more running back depth behind Alvin. But that last acquisition before we talked was Landry. And you know, he has the potential. He's had good years. He's had bad years. If he has a good year, if Mike Thomas can have what we know he's capable of doing, that's a nice 1-2 punch out on the as far as the wideouts.
I'm saying right now, and this shows my objectivity because I really think Buffalo-Tampa Bay right now would be my Super Bowl prediction because I think the Chiefs are in trouble. I mean, I know they can make the playoffs. I just don't – I think what happened last year is going to really hurt them in the playoffs, and I don't buy into them anymore. And I think Buffalo's got a lot to play for because they were right there. And the Bengals have to prove it to me again. I think there could be a 1-year deal with them. I mean, making the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they can't make the playoffs. So that gives me Buffalo and the AFC, and then the NFC. I think Tom Brady came back because he saw that Aaron Rodgers again couldn't get the job done, and he had a chance to beat the Rams. Remember, at the end of the game, they just gave up that last possession to get the field goal to lose the game. But so I think that Tom Brady believes that he can bring this team back to the Super Bowl. So, what are your thoughts on that? Right now, if I had to, if somebody asked me, I got Buffalo, Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Tampa, and I wasn't last year. Buffalo's great, obviously. The sleeper to me in the AFC would be the Ravens because they're going to get Dobbins back. They're going to get Edwards back. I mean, Lamar had to do everything. He had to run the ball. He had to pass the ball. If they have a running game, I think the Ravens with their defense, they need a receiver, but with their defense and their running game, they might be able to beat Buffalo. And then the NFC to me is a little bit more wide open. I could see the Rams coming back and getting back into it. I'm going to play against Tampa. I'll say Rams, Ravens. That'll be my early pick.
That's a good pick. J.K. Dobbins is really – he was one of the guys I really liked in the draft a few years ago, and I thought that that was a steal for the Ravens. You're right. With a healthy Dobbins, that really makes the team more dangerous. But we'll see. We got a long way to go with that. Dave, thanks for joining me. Hopefully we'll have a great Belmont. We can talk to you either before or after the Belmont.
Always a pleasure, Mitch.
All right, take care, man. Thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Got it.
All right, that was Dave Weaver with TVG, and we're going to take our first break, and we're going to be back with Hank Allen. I want to ask him about the controversy between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. They worked together at LSU, and Saban made some comments, and Fisher responded, but we'll talk more about that right after these messages.
At Fidelity Bank, some of our clients say "here for good" in Spanish.
Estamos aquí para quedarnos.
Some say it in French.
Ici pour de bon.
Vietnamese.
Arai mai mai.
And even Italian.
Qui per sempre.
Because "here for good" means we're local and committed to our uniquely diverse South Louisiana community. Come see what a difference a local bank can make since 1908.
Here for good.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
She fights for what you deserve. She knows all about pain and how to make them pay. Stunt woman turned bad attorney.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vanessa Mata.
When you need legal action, send her in.
This is Jed Darensberg with DA Exterminating Company. Here's our jingle. Hope it bugs you.
DA Exterminating, the real DA is on the way. Say your home's got fleas or home's got bugs. Crawling in your walls or on your rugs. Say no to bugs, tell your DA, pick up the phone, we're on the way. DA Exterminating.
We offer complete pest and termite control featuring the Centricon system. DA Exterminating Company, 800-650-PEST.
DA.
Are you suffering from neck and back pain due to a recent auto accident? Did you go to the ER only to have them tell you that nothing is wrong? Dr. Stephen Tremuda with Doctors Rehab Services is here to help. Chiropractic care is considered one of the best remedies for whiplash and soft tissue injuries. With 3 metro area locations in Kenner, Mid-City, and the West Bank, Dr. Tremuda makes it easy to start your road to recovery. For more info or a free consultation, call Dr. Tremuda at 504-465-5353.
Mitch Gibbs here for Premier Nissan of Metairie. They have flexible payment plans and are proud to be your one-stop automotive shop featuring quality inventory at competitive prices, car loan assistance, and auto repair and maintenance services. They are located at 6636 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie, Louisiana, and are open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Stop by today for the best deals in town or call them at 504-455-5800.
Mitch Gibbs here, host of In the Red Zone, talking about my good friend Joe Pepe and New York Life Insurance Company. They are a Fortune 500 company and have been in business for over 150 years, currently hiring entry-level life insurance agents and financial planners in the metropolitan New Orleans area. They provide investment opportunities and peace of mind for their clients. Call them or text them today at 833-DAT-LIFE. All right, we're back here live. Let me get to my next guest because I want to ask him about a few topics here in this segment. Hank Allen, WGNO TV. So, Hank, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Hey, Mitch, good talking with you.
Hey, so let me ask you first a weather related question. So, what are we looking at? I haven't heard any projections about hurricane season. I know they always talk about that based upon different weather phenomenon, you know, the likelihood of how many storms we're going to have, how many major storms. So just give us a couple of minutes on what your projections are for this hurricane season.
Yeah, you know, I always hate the official projections, but they've come out pretty accurate the past couple of years. I think NOAA is coming out today. Colorado State already out with above average year. I think we're probably going to continue this cycle that we're in, at least for another year or so, of some above average activity. You know, I would say probably just a slight drop off from the past couple of years, but, you know, still a good number of storms. If it's me personally, I'd look for probably, you know, 16 to 18 named storms, maybe
five or six hurricanes, something like that, and then a couple of majors. You know, last year was very active, but there wasn't a lot of U.S. landfall. Obviously, we had Ida, so we don't need that again. You know, you think back to 2020, that we had so many landfalling storms in the U.S., obviously seven here in Louisiana, six or seven. And then last year you had Ida and you had a couple other smaller ones. So last year was very active. Not too many hit the U.S. You had a lot of activity in 2020 with a lot of U.S. landfall. So, you know, the landfalling is a little bit more difficult to predict. Obviously, it just depends on when these storms pop up. But, you know, it looks like a slight La Nina again later this year, so I don't think you're getting the El Nino influence. You've got warmer waters out there again. So really nothing showing up to say, hey, we're going to slow things down this year. So, you know, probably another above-average season, and, you know, we'll just have to wait and see when they develop and how many get close to here.
Yeah, I mean, to get three years in a row would be incredible, because remember we had the storm, the Greek storm, 2 years ago, Zeta, that went, I think the eye wall went right over the metropolitan New Orleans. It's amazing I had no damage from that. I didn't even lose my power, but that...
Unbelievable.
I know, but still, the fact that we had that and then we had Ida, so really 2 years in a row, almost like direct hits, is 3 years in a row would be incredible. So I'm hoping the law of averages favors us in that department. We'll see how that goes. All right, so I want to ask you also about, unfortunately, UNO... lost to Southeastern twice, so they're out. Tulane looks like they, you know, with the turmoil, with the firing their coach right before the tournament, they look like a real long shot. I guess LSU would be the only local team that probably will be playing in the postseason. The question is, does LSU get I don't think LSU would probably get to host, though, a regional unless they have a big run in the SEC baseball tournament. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's always an interesting question. I haven't looked at everybody's RPI as of late, but, you know, they certainly have made a run towards the end of the season. No question about that. You look at the regional sites, there's 16 of them. Not that the committee really factors in rankings, but LSU back up to, what, 19 now, I think?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're kind of on the fringe there. There's some other factors that they're going to take into consideration. You know, hotel occupancy, size of the stadium, that sort of thing. So you look at some of the teams that have had great years ahead of them and probably could deserve to host a regional, but you just look at something like a Texas State. You know, it's like, is Texas State really going to be hosting a regional? I don't know. You know, there's a couple other teams in there that you haven't expected to do a whole lot. This year in college baseball is interesting. Obviously, the SEC has always started out with a ton of top 10, top 15 teams. A lot of people dropped off. I think it's been a down year for the conference. Certainly nationally, you've seen a couple of teams. You know, you got some old names that are kind of back up in there, like Stanford, like Oregon State, Miami, back in the top 10 after a few years out. But a lot of Johnny come lately is too. Virginia Tech, Maryland. I mentioned Texas State, Gonzaga now highly ranked. So it's going to be interesting to see how much they give to some of those other teams versus, you know, the name brand like an LSU. You know you're going to have the crowd there. You know you've got the stadium capacity, one of the great stadiums in baseball. So, you know, I think they have some – I'm with you. I think they have some work to do in the tournament. I don't think they necessarily have to make the finals. You get the first round bye. I think if you win one or two games in the SEC tournament, you got a pretty good shot of hosting a regional.
Yeah, and also, like you said, and when it comes to all these sports – college sports, they want fans in the seats. And LSU, you know, if they play at Alex Box, they're going to get a good crowd. So that goes to their in their favor. Also want to ask you about the big controversy last week with Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. And I got to be proud. I know, you know, I'm not a big Saban fan. I knew you're a Mississippi State guy, so you're probably not as well. But I think you and I can look at it very objectively. And Saban has really got nothing to complain about. I mean, he gets more talent probably than anybody, all the national championships. I don't care how great of a coach you are. You got to have the horses, right? And for him to throw out these accusations when he – has been under the microscope a little bit here and there. You know, some questions have come up about Saban. And Jimbo really railed on him, which I was proud of Jimbo, because he's like, if he believes he's doing the right thing, he doesn't need a guy pointing the finger at him. And so, and he doubled down on that, I think, the other day or yesterday or today, too. So I want to get your thoughts on that. Do you think that Saban is just a guy who just says – I'm the man. I can say whatever I want. There's not going to be any repercussions. I think he was wrong in this situation. What do you think?
It's funny. And look, like you said, obviously I'm not an Alabama fan. I have always been a Nick Saban fan, though, just from the standpoint of how he's able to keep doing what he does over such a long period of time. I think you may see a little bit of a blip on the radar in that coming with this NIL thing. And I think he sees it too. And I think that's really why he went off. Now, I agree in some aspects what he's saying in terms of we have now, you know, turned college football into basically free agency and minor league NFL. So I don't think, you know, the truth, I think the right has to be somewhere in between. You know, these guys should be able to get paid and earn money off themselves. You probably shouldn't just have a free-for-all of transfers and all that. But at the end of the day, I think what you're seeing here is this guy has dominated the sport for a very long time, as you mentioned, has always had his pick of the top talent. Has, I mean, let's face it, the guy's a control freak. Whether you like him or not, everybody's going to admit that the dude is just 100% hands-on in what he does. And that's kind of coming to an end because now this has opened the door for other schools with big resources like at Texas A&M. And we were even talking about this in the newsroom the other day. Every school has some of these alumni that could drop $500,000 or $1 million on a player, right? Or a car dealership. I mean, it doesn't have to be the big ones like Texas, A&M, Alabama. Everybody's got somebody with money. And so I think what he sees now is that there's really no rules to all this. And whether that's right or wrong, everybody is going to be playing by that structure now. And he doesn't like it. And I agree. It's kind of rare for him to call out somebody just like blatantly like Texas A&M, but you know, old assistants, they probably don't like each other that much. I think it's pretty obvious. Certainly Jimbo doesn't care about him anymore. And I think it's great for football because it creates the drama. I think whatever the line is that comes out for Alabama, I'm going to take it and put a lot of money on it because I think he's going to stomp Jimbo Fisher by 50 points. But at the end of the day, Saban comes across to me as a little bit of a crybaby on this because everybody's playing by the same rules now. Rules loosely interpreted, obviously. But
yeah, right.
I think he doesn't like the lack of control and being able to keep doing what he was doing and dominating the system.
Well, I mean, he could have gotten the Texas job. Who's got more money than anybody? I mean, Texas,
right.
Made some overtures towards him. And also, I'm not a big fan of NIL either. I agree completely. I think it's gone way out of line. But the same thing, you've had multiple Heisman Trophy winners in national championships. You would think a guy can make as much or more money there in Alabama. And there's plenty of rich alums at Alabama as well, so I don't think he gets hurt at all by this thing. Maybe he doesn't have much control, as you said. But
Saban seeing what everybody else has seen with him over the past decade, you know.
Yeah,
it's like, well, we're all tired of seeing you get the number one class every year.
Gotcha. Hey, Hank, we got to roll, but that's good stuff. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that because that is an interesting time. But like you said, in the long run, it'll be good for college football because that talk back and forth just makes college football more interesting. So anyway, thanks for joining me, and thanks for the info, and we'll talk to you real soon.
All right, buddy. Always a pleasure. Can't wait for the season.
Okay, me too. All right, we're going to take a break, and that's a good thought by Hank Allen. We'll be back with Aaron Essigoff to talk about CTE right after these messages.
Mitch Gibbs here for Premier Nissan of Metairie. They have flexible payment plans and are proud to be your one-stop automotive shop featuring quality inventory at competitive prices, car loan assistance, and auto repair and maintenance services. They are located at 6636 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie, Louisiana, and are open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Stop by today for the best deals in town or call them at 504-455-5800.
The following is a paid endorsement.
He's a man of integrity.
Choosing your attorney can be a life-changing decision. Chip Forstall has over 28 years of experience, giving you the personal attention that you need. If you or a loved one has been injured, you need a lawyer to protect you, your family, and work to get compensation for your injuries. Contact the law office of Chip Forstall today, located at 320 North Carrollton Avenue, New Orleans, or call us at 483-3400. That's 483-3400. Or log on to www.chipforstall.com today. You need caring, aggressive, and effective representation. You need personal attention. You need Chip Forstall.
Chip Forstall. Chip Forstall. He knows the law. Chip Forstall.
I'm Mitch Gibbs, and I want to tell you about a great service. Accardo and Lambert Plumbing, 8303 Willow Street in the heart of Uptown New Orleans, 504-866-7162. They've been in the business for over 30 years. They're fully licensed. They'll provide all your gas and plumbing needs. In most cases, same-day service. In addition, they're accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Accardo and Lambert Plumbing, 866-7162. I consider myself a customer.
Louisiana Radio Network News. I'm Kevin Gallagher. A tragic shooting in Lafayette last night claims the life of a 16-year-old woman and a 14-year-old is facing murder charges. Here's Brooke Thorington.
Our officers responded at about 6:30 p.m. and located a 16-year-old female victim in a 600 block of East Willow Street.
Lafayette PD Sergeant Robin Green says officers found the victim with a single gunshot wound to the chest and the alleged shooter sitting inside a parked vehicle.
Life-saving measures were taken at the scene. She was later transported to Lafayette General Medical Center, where she was pronounced dead.
Green says they are investigating what led to the shooting.
It's unfortunate that a juvenile male 14 years of age was charged with second-degree murder.
I'm Brooke Thorington.
Two Louisiana children died in separate drowning incidents on the Gulf Coast over the weekend. In Biloxi, a two-year-old from West Baton Rouge Parish is reported drowned in a hotel resort swimming pool. And in Orange Beach, Alabama, authorities say a 14-year-old Baton Rouge boy got caught in a riptide and pulled under. This is news on LRN.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon you wish would never end.
The homemade taste of Bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
Bluebell introduced the original cookies and cream ice cream. So every time you dig into that familiar creamy vanilla ice cream that's loaded with chunks of chocolate cream cookies, you can say thanks. You're more than welcome.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made right now.
Look for Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
At Fidelity Bank, some of our clients say "here for good" in Spanish.
Estamos aquí para quedarnos.
Some say it in French.
Ici pour de bon.
Vietnamese.
Arai mai mai.
And even Italian.
Qui per sempre.
Because "here for good" means we're local and committed to our uniquely diverse South Louisiana community. Come see what a difference a local bank can make since 1908.
Here for good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
She fights for what you deserve. She knows all about pain and how to make them pay. Stunt woman turned bad attorney.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vanessa Mata.
When you need legal action, send her in.
Are you suffering from neck and back pain due to a recent auto accident? Did you go to the ER only to have them tell you that nothing is wrong? Dr. Stephen Tremuta with Doctors Rehab Services is here to help. Chiropractic care is considered one of the best remedies for whiplash and soft tissue injuries. With three metro area locations in Kenner, Mid-City, and the West Bank, Dr. Tremuta makes it easy to start your road to recovery. For more info or a free consultation, call Dr. Tremuta at 504-465-5353.
You pay that other pest control company there, quote, home of the $650 termite treatment protection plan, call DA. I'm Jed Derensburg with DA Exterminating, and I bet we can beat that price. We offer different treatment methods featuring the Centricon bait system, and we have one of the best termite protection plans in the country. Before you pay $650 to another company, call DA. New Orleans metro area, North Shore and Homer. DA Exterminating, complete pest and termite control services since 1959. Call 800-650-PEST.
All right, so we're back, and a topic we have not talked about that much, but it's very important in sports, of course, is CTE and brain injuries and concussion protocol. I mean, we do the Saints radio show, and we mentioned it briefly about when a player has to go to the tent on the sidelines to go through the be examined, determine whether, you know, there's some injury which would prevent him from getting back on the field, whether he's been diagnosed with a concussion, have to go through that protocol before he could get back on the field. And this week in town was the American Psychiatric Association, the convention here at the convention center just down the street from us. So we have a gentleman who's done some studies on this with, I believe, MMA fighters, Aaron Esegoff. He's with John Hopkins University in Baltimore. And so John, Johns Hopkins University. So Aaron, thanks for joining me this afternoon. It's a very interesting topic, of course.
I'm really glad to be joining you. And yeah, it's super interesting and I'd love to talk more about it.
Okay, so you know, we see that a lot in the NFL because it's very visible that you have the tent on the sidelines. We do a show with the Saints, so I'm at most of the games and I see all that going on. But I don't know a lot about what they do in boxing and mixed martial arts. So I know you've done some studies on that. So tell us a little bit about how you put this together and what your conclusions were. Of the and also what kind of protocol does MMA and boxing have when somebody's suspected of having some sort of head injury?
Great question. So first, in terms of the protocol, with both MMA and boxing, you're always going to have a ringside doctor just kind of monitoring, making sure there's no large emergency. It's kind of like the NFL where there's someone there to assess if anything really needs to be done or if any changes need to be made. And then in general, what we've done with studying this is we've worked with the Professional Fighters Brain Health Study. It's a study out of Las Vegas that includes boxers, MMA fighters, martial artists, a lot of different fighters, and it basically takes their history, their fighting record, brain scans, and a lot of different neurological tests and looks at different changes you can see with head trauma over time. And what we looked at for this study was the effect of sparring and practice in MMA fighters and how that changes the brain.
Do they, I know boxing, you know, I know at least in the Olympics and the amateur ranks, they would wear the headgear. I wonder if that is that helpful? Is that for more for show or does that actually lessen the effect on a punch to the head? I'm just curious about that because they don't do that in pro boxing. So what are your thoughts on that?
That's a really good question. So anytime you have added padding, it basically reduces the amount your brain or your, you know, the whole system will move and the amount of energy being transferred. So it does help, but it doesn't take away the risk because even if you get hit in the head repeatedly, but not too hard and it doesn't cause a significant injury, you still see the effects of chronically being hit. And so the helmet, to answer your question, does help some, but not all the way.
Yeah, and you know, we've had two very high-profile athletes that went through these issues. We think about Mike Webster, the center on those Steelers Super Bowl teams that was, like, living in his car, and he was in really bad shape before he passed away. And then, of course, Junior Seau, another guy that everybody, you know, was a good guy and everybody loved him, and it came out of nowhere that he killed himself. So just those, I guess, in the if there's some positive that comes out of those two situations, it sheds light or provides a lot of attention to this issue, and that's why I think a lot of measures have been. Do you think that there's more that needs to be done, whether it's in boxing, MMA, or the NFL, to protect these athletes from, you know, potential either life-threatening or just quality-of-life issues with these head injuries?
I'm glad you're bringing up those examples as potential ways to make changes to help. And in terms of if more can be done, it's always trying to balance between being able to play the sport, and a lot of people really love the sport and they love what they're doing, and balancing the potential for long-term both problems in terms of function, like you're mentioning, and then sometimes these worst cases of the brain really becoming diseased and people be having to go through really tough things. And there always can be more that we can do. A lot of measures have been put in place that have been helpful, but looking towards the future, I do think that a little bit more could be done just to really help even fighters, NFL players, people in combat sports, to avoid some of the long-term complications that we see that can definitely happen.
Well, I mean, the problem is, you know, I'm pitching some guys on doing a handicapping show in the fall. So maybe I'm as guilty as anybody, but sports betting has become so huge, and you can bet on boxing, you can bet on MMA fights. You got these pay-per-view fights on MMA almost every weekend. ESPN's involved as well. So it's not going away. I mean, regardless if we get a profile athlete that gets, God forbid, dies or has a bad injury, this, because of, partially because of the ratings and sports betting, this stuff ain't going away. So we're going to have to address it one way or the other. But they're not going to put headgear on these MMA guys, I would guess, right?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily something that would be the only option. Like you're mentioning, there's a lot of excitement about these things, and the fighters also love what they do. And it doesn't mean that it's something that we just can't do. But I think it's looking at creative options for how to help. Like, for example, with the NFL, as you mentioned, some new rules can be made. They can make new helmets, and these things do make some sort of difference. And if we continue to try to innovate, we can find a balance between being able to enjoy and play the sport and being as healthy as we can be.
And we only have a couple more minutes, but I want to ask you, too, about if somebody goes through these injuries in relating to what the what they're doing in New Orleans this weekend with the or this the beginning of this week as well with the convention, American Psychiatric Association convention, that what kind of problems could result from these injuries, where and what, so in other words, psychiatrists would have to treat these individuals. So tell me what are the potential diagnoses for some injuries that are related to these combat sports?
So in the short term, you can have concussions, which are a type of mild traumatic brain injury. That's when you start to have memory dysfunction. You can have, often this is all short term, headaches, things like that. But then once you get to the long term, when you have a lot of repeated head injuries over years, and that's mostly with professional fighting and sometimes amateur, you're able to see changes in mood, changes in impulsivity, changes in day-to-day functioning. And like you're saying, that's when you go to a doctor and try to have a team really help you, in a sense, treat, and they treat you for all this and they help do their best. But unfortunately, with chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, that you've been mentioning, there is no definite diagnosis or cure. And often it's only after someone passes away that you're able to definitely say that's what's going on. But in general, with the brain, the biggest medical advice usually is prevention. But that does not mean that there aren't things you can do after, but it's often just supportive once the process begins.
And what I've noticed is there's so many drugs out there that for treatment, whether you have bipolar, depression, these different diagnoses, and so there's a lot of treatments out there. So hopefully the treatments will be able to accommodate those people that suffer from these injuries that have some kind of psychological effects, that they can live a normal life after they get out of the sport. So hopefully that is the objective in the future for treatment for these injuries.
Yeah, and it is quite difficult to treat these conditions, especially since the mechanism behind a lot of what you mentioned, like the depression, is not necessarily going to be similar to other types of how depression comes about. Some of these treatments work well, others don't work as well, and it's a little bit of a mix. But the biggest takeaway is that there's much more that needs to be done to both help prevent and to help learn how to treat this all better.
All right, before I let you go, last question. If somebody's interested in getting in touch with you and learning more about getting more information, how would they do that? I know you're at Johns Hopkins, but tell us a little bit about that. Where can they get in touch with you if they want to get more information on this topic?
Oh, they can absolutely send me an email. My email is aesago1@jhmi.edu. Or they can even give me a call at 310-880-9753, and I'd love to help them out.
Well, I appreciate your time, and thanks. It's a great topic, and it needs to be. There needs to be more conversation on that as well, because these combat sports are not going away. But like you said, prevention is the key. So, Aaron, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate the time this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been an honor.
Okay, thank you. That was Aaron Esegoff, who's with Johns Hopkins University, and he did a study and some research on the effects of MMA fighting, he said, during the sparring part of it. And it's an interesting topic. We talk about the NFL because we have our Saints show coming up in the fall, and we talk about concussion protocol. We talk about the tents. You have to go in the tents and be diagnosed and, you know, determine whether you can go back in the game or you're going to be out. So the sports are taking steps. Question is, are they taking big enough steps to address these issues? Because for years, nothing was really done. And that's why we have guys like, unfortunately, sad stories like Mike Webster and Junior Seau, and of course, Aaron Hernandez as well. I forgot about him. All right, we're going to take our final break. We'll be back with Gary Smith right after these messages.
At Fidelity Bank, some of our clients say "here for good" in Spanish.
Estamos aquí para quedarnos.
Some say it in French.
Ici pour de bon.
Vietnamese.
Arai mai mai.
And even Italian.
Qui per sempre.
Because "here for good" means we're local and committed to our uniquely diverse South Louisiana community. Come see what a difference a local bank can make since 1908.
Here for good.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
She fights for what you deserve. She knows all about pain and how to make them pay. Stunt woman turned bad attorney.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vanessa Mata.
When you need legal action, send her in.
Are you suffering from neck and back pain due to a recent auto accident? Did you go to the ER only to have them tell you that nothing is wrong? Dr. Stephen Tremuta with Doctors Rehab Services is here to help. Chiropractic care is considered one of the best remedies for whiplash and soft tissue injuries. With 3 metro area locations in Kenner, Mid-City, and the West Bank, Dr. Tremuta makes it easy to start your road to recovery. For more info or a free consultation, call Dr. Tremuta at 504-465-5353.
This is Jed Darensberg with DA Exterminating Company. Here's our jingle. Hope it bugs you.
DA Exterminating. The real DA is on the way.
We offer complete pest and termite control featuring the Centricon system. DA Exterminating Company, 800-650-PEST.
DA.
Mitch Gibbs here for Premier Nissan of Metairie. They have flexible payment plans and are proud to be your one-stop automotive shop featuring quality inventory at competitive prices, car loan assistance, and auto repair and maintenance services. They are located at 6636 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie, Louisiana, and are open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Stop by today for the best deals in town or call them at 504-455-5800. Mitch Gibbs here, host of In the Red Zone, talking about my good friend Joe Pepe and New York Life Insurance Company. They are a Fortune 500 company and have been in business for over 150 years, currently hiring entry-level life insurance agents and financial planners in the metropolitan New Orleans area. They provide investment opportunities and peace of mind for their clients. Call them or text them today at 833-DAT-LIFE. All right, we're back. Our final segment with Gary Smith from The Advocate. I again want to mention Timberlane, playtimberlane.com, 504-367-5010. And there's an event with Raintree Services, Jam NOLA, tomorrow night, Eventbrite, to talk about foster care. It's a good cause. I'm going to be going to Chicago tomorrow, so I won't be able to make it. And so it should be interesting to go up there. I was there a couple of years ago. Good time there. But I want to ask Gary, we don't usually talk about golf, but I want to bring it up just because of what happened yesterday with Mito Pereira. Because what I was thinking was, you know, on the 18th hole when he hit the ball in the water, and I was thinking about Jan Vanderveld, of course, in the Open Championship. He quadruple bogeyed, and also, but he at least made the playoff. He lost in the playoff. Yeah. He had a four-shot lead. And then they talked about Phil Mickelson on the 18th hole, his tee shot. And all these things were, well, in Mickelson's situation, if he would have just, instead of trying to hit a great second shot, if he would have just pitched out, gets a bogey, he goes into a playoff, And he probably would have won that. In the U.S. Open, you play 18 holes. But I like the fact that they played three holes. I like that. But, you know, it's amazing. They talk about what a great comeback Justin Thomas had, Gary. But you got to get help for stuff like that, right?
Sure.
I mean, this guy shoots five over. I know he double bogeyed it. But I don't know what you think. But I want to ask you about that in general. These 18th hole disasters falling apart. The Falcons 28-3 over the, you know, think about all those things. And what causes that? Do you think it's just the pressure, or you've never been there before? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think in this case, it was definitely the pressure. And that's exactly the first thing I thought of. That was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in 1999 when John Van de Velde collapsed on the 18th. I mean, that was the all-timer in golf, because that was a guy with a three-shot lead who just completely played like a moron, and then was trying to roll up his pants and go hit the ball out of the water and change his mind. And I still remember him making that last putt to get to the playoffs, and then like pumping his fist, and like everybody watching knew he had no chance to win in the playoffs by that point. But I think this was the nerves taking over. It's a horrendous, horrendous tee shot. And then no other good shot after that either. Just never won a tournament before. Pressure got to him. Like you said, it was a fight. He was already three over going into that hole. So he wasn't playing well.
Yeah. No, the other thing is
going into that.
Chip, I know he didn't have a good lie on that, but he completely misread that, because you could see him waving. He thought the ball was going to move right towards – in other words, if he would have just hit it straight at the pin, he would have had a better shot of making that putt to go into the playoff. It was – so not only – but I still don't – I'm not going to jump on him too much on club selection on the tee shot, because even Dottie Pepper said, you know, he's comfortable with the driver. And unless you think he just hit the ball too far because he used the driver, I think with any club, if he hits it like that, it's going towards that water. The question is does he hit it far enough to get to the water? So I don't blame, you know, I know a lot of people say, oh, he should have used a 3-wood. He should have used lesser club. I don't know about that. I just think it was just a bad swing. Right? It was just a bad swing.
And I think whatever club he used, he was probably going to get a bad swing there, because he was so nervous at that point. And he got a little unlucky that it turned out that bad. But he was shaky, and that's what happens to guys that are shaky and nervous in those situations when they've never been in that position before.
Yeah, and then moving to UNO, had a good little run in their tournament, and then they lost two straight to Southeastern, so they're done. And Tulane looks like, with all the stuff going on with the coach being fired, looks like Tulane is probably not going to make it either. So I guess we got LSU. Do you expect LSU to host a region, or does it depend on how they do in the SEC tournament?
I guess it depends. You know, I would have, I don't claim to, I cover a lot of college baseball, but I don't claim to be an expert on who hosts regionals. But I know D1Baseball.com did their latest projections today, and they did not have LSU hosting a regional. I think the conventional wisdom going in was that if they swept Vanderbilt on the road, which they did, and murdered them in all three games, that they would be a host. I don't really know. I know this. This part I do know. The NCAA committee pays slavish adherence to the RPI a lot of times, and LSU's RPI is still number 23, which is not in the top 16. But you got to think that a team that finished fourth in the SEC would be one of the 16 regional hosts. So we'll see. But I was really surprised when I saw that D1Baseball.com still had LSU as a number 2 seed on the road after sweeping Vanderbilt.
Yeah, well, I would say, too, that they're probably going to draw good crowds. That's got to help if there's an intangible out there that they could do. So, all right, the NBA, switching to the NBA. I told you I thought Golden State would win comfortably. I know they're up 3-0, and, you know, so no one's ever come back from 3-0. So, I think you even agree. You thought it would be a tougher series, but I think we both agreed Golden State. The other series, I think it's, you know, you think Miami's got it, and then, you know, they look good in the first game, then they blown out in the second game, but then they win at Boston. So now, to me, that's a 7-game series. I just can't pick that series.
Yeah, see, I mean, the conventional wisdom, and I'm actually I was on Boston from the start. There are going to be a lot of people with egg on their face if Boston wins, because if you listen to the narrative, everybody thought that that series was going to go after Boston won game two. I didn't hear anybody predict. Everybody was saying that was going to go five, that it was over, that the Heat just don't have enough weapons, that Boston was going to kill them. And then Boston loses game three at home. I'm actually with those people in a sense. I can't imagine Boston, which has basically been the best team in the NBA since January, the best record in the league, hasn't lost two in a row since March. I can't imagine them losing to a Heat roster that's depleted. They're going to be without like two or three players tonight, and they don't even know Jimmy Butler's status on top of that. I was listening to Sports Talk Radio today in the car, and I was listening to it a lot coming back from Hammond from the UNO game yesterday, and it's almost you're on a limb thinking it's a tough series, and look, so far you've been right and everybody else has been wrong, but there's still almost 100% unanimity that the Heat are not going to win that series, and that it should be a mismatch, and that Boston's just messing around and playing sloppy. And if the Heat, who have the funny thing is they have the home court advantage in the series. They were the team with the better record for the year. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, Boston's going to win game four. I mean, I can't imagine that they won't, but then there's two of the last three games are in Miami. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, these people are just killing them. I mean, the Heat, people are acting like the Heat are the worst number one seed in the history of the NBA and have no players other than Jimmy Butler and just can't even think to breathe on the same court with the Celtics. If the Heat win, there's going to be a lot of people who look really stupid. You know, there was a lot of that talk last year with Milwaukee early in the playoffs that people thought they'd had a history of losing early and that they were not going to do it, and then they ended up winning. So maybe the Heat are going to turn out to be this year's Milwaukee. Difference is they don't have a Giannis on their roster.
Does Golden State looks like they're going to be a big favorite in the finals, regardless who?
I don't agree with you there either on it. We'll see. But look, so far you've been right.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Celtics to me play fantastic defense when they're playing well. I think that's a toss up series. We'll see how the series ends up. But if the Celtics win in six, I might give a slight edge to them. I'm on the fence on that one. You know, Jason Tatum had six turnovers and went 3 for 14 and scored 10 points in game three. I don't think that's going to happen again, but I do. I think that would be, I think the Golden State Boston series would be an interesting series. If it's the Heat and Golden State, then, no contest. And I am impressed. Golden State's defense, they've really turned it up. They're rebounding great. And you know, I haven't even mentioned,
I think Golden Curry State would prefer to play Miami, no question about it.
I still like their chance.
And who would be the
you've been right from the start.
But regardless, I think Golden State is doesn't have home court advantage, right? But whether it's Boston, doesn't Boston.
Correct.
Right. So that would be interesting as well. But all right, well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Let's talk in a couple of weeks. We'll be off for Memorial Day, but we'll see where we are when we get to the NBA Finals. So, Gary, thanks. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, that was Gary Smith. So I want to thank our great guests, Dave Weaver from TVG, Hank Allen with WGNO-TV, Gary Smith with The Advocate, and Aaron Essigoff with Johns Hopkins University. Interesting talk about CTE and, concussion protocol and how that's being done in the combat sports. And we'll be off next week for Memorial Day. We'll be back in 2 weeks on a Monday. In June, we're almost in hurricane season. That's where we ask Hank Allen these questions. Anyway, have a great week. Have a great weekend with Memorial Day. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks in the month of June. Let's hope we have a quiet hurricane season.
The best in wining and dining daily. It's the Dine, Wine, and Spirits Show with Tim McNally from 4 to 5 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM New Orleans.
At Fidelity Bank, some of our clients say here for good in Spanish.
Estamos aquí para quedarnos.
Some say it in French.
Ici pour de bon.
Vietnamese.
Arai mai mai.
And even Italian.
Qui per sempre.
Because here for good means we're local and committed to our uniquely diverse South Louisiana community. Come see what a difference a local bank can make since 1908.
Here for good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
She fights for what you deserve. She knows all about pain and how to make them pay. Stunt woman turned bad attorney.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vanessa Mata.
When you need legal action, send her in.
Hi, I'm Mitch Gibbs, and I want to tell you about a great service. Accardo and Lambert Plumbing, 8303 Willow Street in the heart of Uptown New Orleans, 504. 504-